I have titled my message today, "It is my pleasure to serve you." I think all of you have been to Chick-fil-A and experienced the wonderful customer service that the employees there provide for us. Surely you have noticed when you say thank you to one of their employees that they respond with, "My pleasure." But do you know the story behind that practice? Well, Truett Cathy, the company's founder, was inspired by a visit to a Ritz-Carlton. Now, the hotel chain is known worldwide for their exceptional customer service. There are legendary stories, if you Google them on the internet, that you can find about staff members at the Ritz-Carlton going to these great lengths to serve their customers. And it's a policy at the Ritz-Carlton that when a guest thanks a wait person or a room service staff, rather than responding with "no problem" or "you're welcome," the employee is to look the guest right in the eye and to smile and to respond with, "It's a pleasure to serve you." So during a stay at the Ritz-Carlton, when Mr. Cathy said thank you to the man behind the counter, the man responded by looking him in the eyes, smiling and saying, "It's my pleasure to serve you." And it was from this exchange that Chick-fil-A's kind of novel idea was born. And that was Truett Cathy wanted for his employees to treat customers as if they were at a five-star resort. And so he simply shortened their response to "my pleasure." And I think this emphasis on customer service helps distinguish Chick-fil-A from its competitors, as well as their chicken biscuits and their peppermint milkshakes, which are out for a limited time. Go there this afternoon and get one. Man, that's right. That's right. They're all, yeah, go tomorrow. Go tomorrow and get one. Working one shift a week in the customer service industry over this past year, I've concluded that exceptional customer service does not just happen. It has to be planned. It has to be taught. It's always intentional. Like when you go somewhere and you receive excellent customer service, it wasn't happenstance. It's been planned. It's been thought out. It's purposeful. It's intentional. True story, 2 weeks ago, my wife was visiting an establishment in our community where customer service should be a priority, and she needed some assistance, and so she asked to speak to one of the managers, and the manager came to her and looked her directly into the eye and didn't smile and said, "I don't have time for this today." Yeah. Not going to mention any names of the establishment. But unfortunately, if we're honest, I think when it comes to loving our neighbors literally, I think we're probably more like the busy store manager. You know, we just don't have time for this today. Then we are like the Chick-fil-A employee whose pleasure it is to serve. You know, if you're visiting here for the first time this morning, you may have noticed the for sale sign on the stage and wondered what that's all about. Well, we're in the process of moving here at Southside. We're moving the central location of our ministry from here at this physical building to our homes and our neighborhoods. And the point of the for sale sign is to serve as a reminder to us to become a church that does less and less on this campus and more in our homes and in our neighborhoods. And if someone were to ask me today what they could do to seek the lost, I would simply encourage them to love their neighbor literally, the people who live on their streets. And so we've been talking about five very practical ways to love our neighbor, and they spell out the word bless. And so the first one was to begin with prayer. We want to speak to God about our neighbor before we speak to our neighbor about God. The second one was the L, is to listen. We want to take a listening stance. We don't want to pray that God bless our efforts and just run in and do all kinds of crazy stuff. We want to take a listening stance. We want to listen. We want to believe that God goes before us and that God is working in the lives of people who live on our street. And so we want to listen for him and listen to our neighbors. The third is the E was eat. And we looked at that one last week. And that's that biblical idea of hospitality, of growing in a relationship with someone from stranger to acquaintance to neighbor. And then ultimately, right, the hope is to family of God even, right? And so this week we're going to look at that first S, which is service. Service. I mentioned this last week. The E, the S, and the S come directly from three the Son of Man came to statements that are found in the Gospels. The eat comes from Luke 7:34, where the Son of Man came eating and drinking. We looked at that last week. Today, this first S comes from Mark 10:45, where Jesus says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." Service. Practically speaking, we want to talk about ways that we can serve our neighbors. And so that's hence the title, right? It's my pleasure to serve you. You know, we want to take steps from just being a nice neighbor, you're one who never bothers anyone, to being a good neighbor, one who's motivated to serve others. You know, and there's hundreds of ways for us to serve our neighbors with simple acts of kindness. There's all kinds of examples that could be given here, right? I want to share one. I hope I don't embarrass them. But this is just a recent one that has benefited us and others. But a great example of just a simple act of kindness out of service to neighbors. You probably noticed this always happens to both of our vans that we've had. When the temperature changes, when it gets colder, something happens with the air temp, with the tire. I don't know anything about cars, but the tire temperature, then, you know, the air changes in the tires and the tire light comes on the car, right? Just because the change in temperature messes with the air pressure in the tires. And so that light comes on. And so you got to fix it, right? And so Jim Hovenrich has an air compressor in his garage, and so he's gotten the word out on his street to his neighbors that when this happens, they can just swing by, and he can top it off and fix it, and that little light will go off. Karen, even though we're not literally on the same street, took advantage of that service yesterday as he helped with one of our vans, and that's awesome. I mean, that's just an awesome example of just a simple act of kindness, a simple way to serve our neighbors. And that's what this S, this first S, is all about. It's not door knocking. It's not passing out a gospel tract. It's called service. And, you know, as simple as it sounds, I do think there are some transformations that have to occur within us for us to become the kind of people who serve our neighbors. And so that's what I want to focus our attention on this morning. I think there's three transformations that need to occur as we become this people who love our neighbors literally through service. There's a spiritual transformation, there's a religious transformation, and then there's a social transformation. And so let's look at each one of these this morning. First, there's a spiritual transformation. This first transformation is going from serve us, which is S-E-R-V-E, space, U-S, to service, S-E-R-V-I-C-E. You see, we have a fallen human nature, and it's one that's very selfish. Every atom of every molecule, of every cell, of every part of our body, every moment of every day screams out for everyone to hear, serve us, serve us, serve us. We want to be the Lord of our life. We want to be served. We do not want to serve anyone else. And we do not want anyone telling us what to do. We desire to sit on the throne of our life where everyone and everything else must serve us. So this is why a spiritual transformation must take place. You see, when we humble ourselves and receive Jesus as our Savior and as our Lord, not only do we receive the forgiveness of our sins, but we step down from the throne of our life and we let Jesus reign in our hearts. And Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2 that we have the mind of Christ, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. You see, we are sons and daughters of the Most High King, who, like the one and only Son, are to also take on the very nature of a servant. You see, our fallen human nature is to be transformed, is to become the nature of a servant. And there's the lifelong spiritual transformation that is to take place. From every molecule and atom in our body screaming out, "Serve us, serve us, serve us." That fallen human nature being transformed into the very nature of a servant. And boy, there's real tension there, isn't there? I mean, that's the struggle. That's the struggle. However, we believe that the Spirit of Christ reigns in our hearts, sits on the throne of our lives, and gives us the strength and the power to fulfill the calling to serve. And so there's this spiritual transformation that has to take place, right? That's why I think when we talk about service, we're like, that doesn't sound all that great. What else we got? What can we come up with another letter? I'd rather do something else to help the neighbors. But it's to serve. Our nature has to be spiritually transformed into this nature of a servant. The second transformation that needs to take place is a religious transformation. There is a religious transformation that needs to take place. And let me see if I can explain it this way. Let me ask you a question. Which will have a greater impact and influence on our neighborhoods? A church service or our church service? Let me explain. I grew up with the language that what we're doing together right now is called a church service. That's the language that I grew up with. It may not be the language that you grew up with. But I always wondered why we call this a service. It just seemed kind of stuffy and real formal. But this transformation is how we are to understand the term church service. I want to encourage us to think about it less as a weekly event that we go to and more as a daily lifestyle. I want to encourage us to think about it not as something that we do for 1 hour on a Sunday morning, and instead as someone who we are all week long. You know, Jesus would write James would write that in chapter 1, there at the end of that chapter, that our true act of worship as followers of Christ is not showing up here once a week, but it's caring for widows and orphans. It's caring for the hurting and the lonely throughout the week. It's serving those who are in need. You know, admittedly, as part of the staff at this church, You know, I can spend a large part of my week focusing on a Sunday morning service and in the meantime provide no church service in my neighborhood. So what I'm encouraging is really kind of it's a religious transformation is what I'm calling it. Are we just living for the next church service, or is church service a lifestyle for us? You know, does it describe who we're becoming as a people? We're a people who serve, not what we do once a week in a building. That's part of that, this idea of moving, right? Moving away from this thinking that just church service is something that we do once a week and go to once a week, but instead of it becoming a lifestyle, it's who we are as a people. We're a people who serve others. And then the third transformation that I want to look at this morning is a social transformation. And this is a transformation from community service to a community of service. From community service to a community of service. You know, the term community service does not sound very appealing. At worst, it sounds like a consequence for a wrongdoing, right? You have too many speeding tickets, and so you've got to go do some community service, right? And at best, it sounds like something that you have to do in order to build a well-rounded resume, right? I better get my community service hours up so I have a good-looking resume. But so I want to transform and kind of move away from community service to a community of service, right? What we're wanting to do through this series is to build relationships, wanting to build relationships with our neighbors. And relationships should never be one-sided. You know, relationships that are one-sided are not friendships, they're projects. Right? They're done for the sake of ministry or for the sake of charity. And neighborhoods are best when built on reciprocal relationships. It's not simply about doing for others and then looking for ways to serve and serve and serve. Instead, it's about cultivating a community of service, of giving and receiving. You know, borrowing something from your neighbor has become a lost art. You know, if you run out of something these days, you just jump in the car and go to the store. But what I'm encouraging here is for us to become people who find ways to build a sense of depending upon and helping one another. So perhaps the best thing that you could do for the kingdom of God this week is to ask your neighbor for a cup of sugar. Maybe you'll get a funny look, but I don't think so. And with that, a community of depending upon and helping one another is created. Then, out of that, real opportunities to serve and be served will come. Serve your neighbors by giving them the privilege of serving you. I was trying to think of an illustration to help kind of illustrate the difference between just community service and forming a community of service. I couldn't really come up with a good one, but I did think of this, and I want to share it. JP, our 14-year-old son, has a little lawn mowing business, and he's got a couple of lawns in his little business. And, you know, it'd be real easy for us to give JP an allowance, like a weekly allowance, and then tell him to go and mow our neighbors' lawns for free, to serve them in that way. We want to serve our neighbors by mowing their lawn for them. And we just serve, and we just serve, we serve. But I think that's like making our sons have community service hours, right? Where he's like, oh. Instead of creating this community of service, and what I have found by JP going and mowing our neighbor's lawns and the neighbors wanting to pay him and that, is that there's this beautiful community that's formed between JP and these families whose house, whose lawn he mows, because they want to pay him. They look forward to his coming. They look forward to going out and kind of walking around in the yard with them and talking to them and interacting with them. And one of the guys has already started encouraging him to save money for a car. And you know, they look forward to being able to help him. They look forward to giving to him as much as he appreciates the opportunity to serve and receive from them. And so this great community is formed because of that. And that's what this social transformation that I think has to occur is, it's not just community service that I think we're called to as followers of Christ, but it's to be salt and light in a community to cultivate this community of service that grows and multiplies within a community. And so these are spiritual, religious, and social transformations that I think must take place if we are to serve our neighbors literally. You know, I think the text that Andrew read for us earlier in Mark chapter 10 is one of the most revolutionary texts in the Gospels. This text challenges the basic value system of our culture and calls us as followers of Christ to live in opposition to this system. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you." Jesus could not be more clear. This is not how followers of Christ do it. Instead, let me lay it out for you. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, there's a great little word there in verse 45 that can be easily overlooked. It's the word even. Though it's a small word, it carries a big importance to the meaning of this statement of Jesus. We are to follow Jesus as servants, but the text says even. And so the argument here is of the how much more type. For even the Son of Man was a servant. Therefore, how much more ought his followers be servants? You follow that? Even Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, came not to be served, but to serve. For even Jesus, then how much more his servants? John writes in chapter 13 of his gospel that Jesus showed his disciples the full extent of his love. How? Through service. By wrapping a towel around his waist and washing their feet. You know, if I was going to show Karen the full extent of my love, I would go elaborate. I'd go all out. Flowers, beet pancakes. No, we'd go better than that. Gifts, big meal, right? Travel, spare no expense. Yet Jesus showed the full extent of his eternal love through a small act of humble service. You see how revolutionary that is? Let us follow his lead by showing our neighbors the full extent of his love for them through small acts of humble service. Begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, to have this time together as this year is coming to a close, to just focus upon this command from your Son to love our neighbors. Just thankful, Lord, that you are leading us through this discussion and this study. Father, we give this effort to you, Father. We want to become people who learn to serve well. Father, we believe that at your very heart, you are a servant of all. And so, Lord, shape us into to look like you, to be servant of all. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to sing an invitation song. And if there's anyone who would like to respond to the message this morning, who would like to make Christ their Savior and Lord this morning, boy, we would love to be a part of that and to baptize you into him this morning. There's also people in the back, if you have a prayer request that needs to be lifted up before our Lord and you'd like to pray with someone, people who would love to pray for you. Let's stand together and sing.